Welcome you this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad that you have been able to join us in person. And those who are able to view our service online today, you're very, very welcome. We're going to start our service of worship and praise to God with number 51, Jesus Shall Reign. Let's stand, please, to worship the Lord. Let's take a moment now and still our hearts in the Lord's presence as we come to seek Him and commit this meeting into His hands, praying for the Lord's Spirit to take His Word and impress it on our own hearts, that we will understand the Word, the Holy Spirit will apply it to our hearts, and we will grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Let's bow, please, now in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we bow once more in Thy holy presence in the name of our great Lord and Savior. We know, Father, that the last time we met and what blessings or grace we obtained from that time will not do for today. We need the fresh supplies of the grace of God. And we know, Lord, that what You have promised for us, they are abundant, that we might receive them, take them to our hearts. And Lord, may they be multiplied and expanded in our own testimony and witness. Help us, we pray, to glorify our Lord and Savior with our thinking, with our motives, with our actions. Lord, let us walk in humility. I pray that the motto text we have taken for this year would be constantly applied to our heart, that we would do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Father, we come to acknowledge openly our need of the Spirit's power for our worship today. For every part of this service, we know that the devil comes with a plan to every meeting. He comes with an intention to distract and to invade our minds with a thousand other thoughts. But Lord, we pray for the Spirit's help and power to listen to the Word, to hear the speaking voice of the Holy Ghost to our own souls, so that we might be strengthened with might in the inner man. That, Lord, we will die unto ourselves today and live unto righteousness. To the end, everlasting life. Our Father, we pray for those who are this day mourning the loss of loved ones. We know within our own congregation we have many who have lost ones recently. We pray for our sister Slade today, and we ask for your hand to be upon her as the loss of her dear brother. We're thankful, Lord, for the honor and glory that was given to thy holy name Friday at the funeral. And we pray that all the family members would yet be able to rejoice with the fond and happy memories of a loved husband and brother and grandfather, father. Lord, we pray that we would know the daily supplies of much needed grace to help us through our times and to overrule the temptations and the attacks of the wicked one. Lord, we're thankful for your gracious hand upon many in our congregation who have gone through times or are presently going through sick times. Thankful Dr. McClellan can be with us this morning. And we ask for your gracious hand of healing to continue with him, to bless him, encourage him in his own heart. We know that others in our congregation need the ongoing healing touch of the Lord. And we're thankful, Father, that we pray to this end, confidently knowing that our prayers are heard in heaven and they will be abundantly answered. And so, Father, receive our thanksgiving. Remember our land today. Remember those in authority over us. Give them wisdom. Keep them from folly. Keep them from evil works. And we pray in our nation, in our land, that you would bless the good and hinder and stop the evil. Lord, we pray that in wrath you would remember mercy. Come and revive our hearts. Lord, we stand today in great need. Take away apathy and lethargy. Take away all the things that would stop us from serving in the way in which we should. Lord, we want nothing more but our lives would be on the altar of sacrifice for service, that our lives would be a fragrance unto our God, a fragrance of service. So, Lord, receive our praise and our prayer this morning. Bless us as we continue to worship. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 2, we're going to sing today, Psalm 2, and the words are slightly different. This is a rendition from Isaac Watts, and the tune, though, I think you will find very familiar. Let's stand, please, as we worship. may be seated, and what thanksgiving and rejoicing there is to think about these words, the Word of God, given to us in this way. The last two lines, those are secure, and those alone who on His grace rely. And that's our blessed hope and the truth that we have today, trusting in our Savior. We're going to read now from the book of Revelation, chapter 19. The book of Revelation, chapter 19, the first nine verses. You will be hard-pressed to find more solemn, exultant words than we have contained here among these final chapters and verses of the Holy Word of God. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the four beasts, fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We know that the Lord will bless His Word to every believing heart, and I trust that will be no difference today, but we'll be blessed and encouraged as we hear His truth. Again, let me say a word of warm welcome to everyone in our church service this morning. We're happy that you're here in person. And we say a special word of welcome to Dr. McClellan. It's very good to have our brother in the meeting with us. He was reminding me today, how many weeks has it been since you were here? 23 weeks since he's been in the house of the Lord. And of course, that was the same for most of you up until 4 weeks ago. And yet it's a milestone in that sense. And so we're thankful, as we've been praying for our brother, for God's hand to be upon him. And though he had a little setback from his surgery, yet he is on the road of recovery. So I know he'll appreciate very much your prayers. Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, he was able just to express his thanks to the congregation, the people who were there. So if you missed out that time, I know that our brother would greatly extend his appreciation to all of you for your faithful praying. We want to continue to remember the Slade family, our sister Ruth today, that God's hand would be on her in the loss in her family. And I can tell you that was at the service at Jarvis Street Baptist on Friday for the funeral. And it was a God-honoring and a God-glorifying time. And do pray for the comfort of the Lord upon His own precious word, and upon from His word to His people. Remember, please, all of our seniors. If you are getting the bulletin online, I hope you take a moment to read the list of those folks who are there. Jean Bino, Florence Chung, Muriel Crothers, our brother Sam McAnally, we remember him often in prayer. Tony and Grace Puccini, Maria Santos, Grace Saunders, Ruth Slade, Mary Todd, John and Thelma Watson, and Jim Wilson. Now, if your name is missed out of there, it doesn't mean you're not a senior. Don't worry about that. You may still be considered a senior, but there's one reason or another, perhaps of some sickness or illness, or maybe by their own request, they desire to be on this prayer list. So you'll see that on the bulletin, and that there are some others with specific prayer needs, and do remember them before the Lord. May I ask you also to keep before God our Whitfield Christian School ministry, as our teaching staff, our administration, makes a much preparation for the commencement of school on September the 8th. We are praying that God will go before us and help us in all of the areas that are necessary for bringing the students in, keeping them safe, the wearing of masks for certain grades of students, and just all of the details. We need to know the mind of the Lord. We want to know His presence and help, so giving much strength to all of our people and praying that His name will be honored and glorified in the ministry that He has given to us there. Let me just share with you the announcements for the rest of today and then next week. This afternoon at 5:50, this evening we have our prayer time via Zoom, and you will have received that link information. And then tonight, our evening service on sermon audio, and that will be at 6:30. And if you would like to venture out in the evening time, as some one or two folks do seem to come, and will not refuse you at the door. If you would like to come along, you're welcome to do that. We will hope to open officially the first Lord's Day of September for our morning and evening services, and that will be open for everyone to be able to attend freely. Tuesday evening, we have a session and a board meeting that will start at 6 p.m., and that will be via Zoom. Men, please don't forget that. Those are all the announcements we want to share with you, and just that now is a time to consider your tithes and your offerings and what you will give back to the Lord of what He has blessed us with. And so as we think on those things, the offering plates are in the hallway as you leave, and we're going to sing another hymn together, although I think for some it might be listening and watching the words, number 60 in your book, and it's an unfamiliar hymn for us, but I'd like us to learn. The words are very good, and I hope you'll be able to follow the tune. So just remain seated, please, while we look at these words, and sing if you can. Thank you. think on the words of the final verse. Thank you. Please be seated. And I take my hat off again to our accompanist today, because it didn't sound like an easy one. And I think that they will acknowledge it was probably a harder one to play. But again, our focus is always upon the words that we are singing, the words whereby we are praising and worshiping God with. And that is our focus. Please turn with me now to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. The title at the top of this psalm is The Majesty of God's Kingdom. This psalm could be divided into four different sections, each of them having three verses each. And the first three verses really look at the coming of the Lord that is described, and the next three verses think about the effect that has on the earth. The next three verses talk about the influence upon the heathen and also the people of God. And the final little section exhorts the people of God to holiness and to happiness. Let's read. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings lightened the world, the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad. The daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Please join me for a brief word of prayer. Father, we pray this morning as we continue in thy holy presence that our hearts would be in touch with our God. The Holy Spirit will have his way in all our minds. That I would know the help of the Spirit, the anointing of God to speak the word of the Lord faithfully and clearly, so that no one would misunderstand. Lord, give to each one listening here in the church and online a hearing ear, an understanding heart. Lord, bless us now today, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, a title over my message for you today is this: God is in control. God is in control. I was at the front of my house this past week doing something outside, and a car stopped and pulled in the driveway. I did not recognize the person, and I thought maybe it was someone asking for directions. But when the lady got out of the car and she began to speak and quickly introduced herself, I recognized her. I hadn't seen her for many years. She used to attend the church here some time ago. So we were talking about things, old times, and many of the folks in the church, all in a positive manner, I can assure you. And then when we got done all that and some of the social niceties, then it moved on to the other areas about, well, problems in society, COVID, about the whole issue of school reopening and what that's going to look like in the whole public system and so on. And then she exclaimed, "What in the world is going on? It seems everything is out of control." I tried to reassure her that her eyes needed to be upon the living God and not on the vacillating and changing opinions of men and circumstances in this world. Then another situation occurred. An email came into the church from a different person altogether expressing great concern about the state of things in the country with this exclamation, "I'm just not liking this world we are living in. So awful." Really, the sentiment and the frustration that was being concerned there is this: has everything become unhinged? What is going on? Where are we going? What are we heading into? You know, these two examples that have come across my path in the last week, I am sure could be multiplied by many of you from people you meet in the course of your work, your day, your life. People are worried. Many folks are confused. And often they do not know where to turn for answers. They think, is this the beginning of the end of the world? How much worse can things really get? What's going on in our city? All the increased violent crimes? It seems that many are calling evil good and good evil. Has God lost control? What will be the end of all this? Believer, yes, there are many questions that even come into the mind of God's people. We are not immune from this by any sense, because we are in the world. We are facing the issues, the real life issues that everyone else is facing. And so it's very possible and real that some of those questions have come into your very mind and heart. Sometimes we can have more questions than we have answers for. What is the solution? The solution, believer, is as it has always been and always will be until God calls us home to eternity. We must return to the foundation that we have built our faith on. And if we ever stray from the foundation of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word, we will be in trouble. And so we can today take great refuge and comfort in the truth of Psalm 97 and the opening verse. Look at what it says. "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof." In Revelation chapter 19 that we read, verse 6, let me read it for you once again. The Apostle John says this, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him." Do you know what John the Apostle was doing? He was giving to us a New Testament commentary or the fulfillment of Psalm 97 in verse 1. And he was expanding that to show us that Christ is the living God, the great conqueror and ruler, the one who is reigning. He is triumphant. And he will triumph over all his enemies. Our Savior is the true and the faithful witness who judges in righteousness. By the way, that's not according to how it appears on a human scale. Our Lord judges, and when he comes back to this world on his second coming, it will not be this time in humility and lowliness, but it will be in power and great glory. And it will be to consume and destroy all of his enemies. I ask you today, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of the living God? Do you know him as your own living Savior? Have you received him in your heart? Do you know him? Because if you're not on the side of Christ, then, my dear friend, today, you're on the side of Satan. And he is the one who is the ruler and the reigning one in your mind and heart. And I exhort you, I say to you with all my heart, flee to Christ this morning. Come to the living God, because there is the only place that you will find refuge for your heart. The only place that you will find answers for your soul. It is in this, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let the world and the earth rejoice. Let every child of God today cast our crowns upon Him and say, I love the Lord my Savior, and I want my life to make a difference for Him. I want my life to be noted by those who I'm in contact with. I want to walk in close fellowship with Him. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to today from Psalm 97 combined with Revelation 19 verse 6 is this. These are powerful words for troublesome times. Jehovah reigns. This is the theme that goes through the whole psalm, but it's far greater than that. Because as John has tied up those threads from the Old Testament and the New and drawn them together, here is the very foundation of all that we have our hope and our trust in. From the beginning, from the foundation of the world, all that is of the gospel and of Christ and of His realm, it's contained in these words, the Lord reigns today, now. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Mr. Spurgeon, he wrote, Jesus has come, and all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Therefore, men are bidden to yield him their obedient faith. Saints draw comfort from these words, and only rebels cavil at them. My friend, here is good news. Here are glad tidings for us today. For the Lord reigns, and let all the heavens and all the earth rejoice. Mr. Spurgeon went on to say, it cannot be published without praise, without rejoicing, without singing, without blessing. We should dishonor this truth if we did not publish it. If we should with silence suppress it, if we should not speak well of it, it is so sweet and comfortable that it fills the whole world with joy, and it calls every ear, every tongue, and every heart to be glad, to rejoice, and to praise God. Who will despise and reject this truth? Who would take such a truth and set it aside as being of no great value, of being untrue? Well, of course, we know that Satan would do that. And along with every devil that will raise a hideous voice against the truth of God, and all the wicked in the world, they will raise their proud fists in the face of Christ, and they will spit out their oaths and their curses against the God of heaven. And you know what they will shout? They will shout in their bitterness, "We will not have this God to reign and to rule over us. We will go our own pathway. We will make our own way." The ungodly, they reject the Lord. We know that trouble and upset, they have come and they have been in every age. It's not new to our age, nor will it be new to the age that follows us, because it wasn't new to the age that was before us. We know that the devil has always attempted to overturn God's things. He takes the things that God has made or presented, and they are good, but he taints them, twists them, and he paints them as evil. We know that's true. And so when we assess the danger and the damage of our own time, let us, believer, not lose faith or be overwhelmed by such oppression. One thing is certain for the true Christian. The God whom we worship and serve, he is either a sovereign God in the affairs of men and nations, or he is not God at all. Think about it. If the Lord does not have control in all things, in every area of this world, then he is at the whim of the determination of sinful human men. But we know that God is in control, friend, and the word of the Lord states that so clearly for us. And even when men or Satan or both, they all conspire evil against the Lord, God will turn it to good for his people. We know well Romans chapter 8, and I hope that you comfort yourself with the words of that chapter often, that all things, they are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, friend, do not despair. Do not lose faith. Do not allow the seeds of doubt and fear to creep in and take control of our thinking, because if so, well, they will turn us away. But our God knows the end from the beginning. His plan is converging on a final day when God will conclude all of human history and every last one of his children will be brought home. And every enemy that raises a voice or any opposition against God, they will be silenced. They will be destroyed. For our God omnipotent reigns and rules in this world. And it doesn't matter what governments plan or plot, friend. It does not matter what policies are put in place. It does not matter what rules constitutionally or otherwise are pitted against God's word. I'm not saying it will be easy. I'm not saying things will not become heated and difficult in our time, because the Word of God is being pitted as hate literature. It's coming a time when we stand our defense upon the Word of God and we proclaim God's truth, that we will be called hate mongers, bigots, those that are opposed to societal standards. Did I say that time will come? That time is already here. Let us not be deceived about it. Sometimes I feel that we as Christians can be far too naive, far too blind, far too complacent perhaps, that instead of calling on the God of heaven to intervene in our land, we may be sometimes carelessly just drifting along. Let us beware, my friends, and let us be certain that our standing is in the Word of God. Our hope and our faith is grounded in the Christ of God, and our great hope is that we know our Savior is ruling and reigning, and our God is in control. These are powerful words for troublesome times. But I want you to notice, secondly, these are for us encouraging words for very discouraging times. You've all read and heard the headlines until you're about sick of them, all about COVID news. And I think every time people turn off the radio or just silence it because it's just overwhelmed. But let's face the realities. There are so many headlines have come up recently, and here's one from CTV News of June the 3rd, 2020. The headline is this: as COVID-19 stress builds, study warns of potential spike in suicides. Toronto Star, June 10th, 2020. The life and death COVID-19 curve no one is talking about. And this was the opening paragraph. As Canada works to flatten the coronavirus curve, the combination of anxiety, economic insecurity, and isolation has mental health experts concerned that suicide rates in the country could be headed in the opposite direction. A recent study co-authored by University of Toronto professor of psychiatry Roger McIntyre projected suicides as a consequence of the impact of COVID-19 on unemployment alone could lead to an increase of 27.7% to Canada's average, annual average. People are watching. People are observing. People are calculating. What is the impact? How does it affect mental health? And all of these things come in by the studies and the studies and the studies. Are Christians altogether separate from these things? No, we are not. Because we can be strongly impacted. And we can be vulnerable to the waves of social and economic concern. And unless we stay our minds upon Christ and His Word, we can be pulled down into these turbulent waters of frustration and despair. What's the answer, friend? What's the answer for us today? It is turn again to the Word of life and truth, the Lord's holy Word. And we will find there stability. We'll find their comfort. We will find their peace. And it's alone in our risen Savior. You know what this does for us? When we ground ourselves more certainly upon the Word of God, it provides a cure for our timid faith. You find your faith a little bit weak or timid, bashful and shy, what are we to do? Well, we come to the Lord with such a thing and we pray, Lord, give me a boldness of faith. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Lord, give me a bold, lively, energetic faith. And the more we receive from the Scriptures a sight of the risen Christ and we drink in of His beauty and glory, it will help us. Do we not lament our weakness in faith? Sure we do. So many times we see things that are pitted against us, many challenges and attacks. And we often say, Lord, I believe Your Word, but help my unbelief, help my weakness. My faith is small. and it's weak, we will say. But that's not a bad thing to admit to the Lord. That's a good thing. To say to Him, Father, I'm aware of my weakness. Come and engage my faith and strengthen me on the Word. Give me the cure of my timidity of faith. I love the words of this well-known chorus and hymn. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I think our brother put that up for us here. Yes, he has it there for us to think about. The devil would say, we have a lot to fear and we have a lot to be dreading. But not so when we are resting in the everlasting arms of the eternal God, the great promise that God gave to Moses as he was taking his exit from the people of God, and they were going to be led by Joshua into the promised land to take the possessions God had planned for them. And they were able to know this, that underneath them were God's eternal, everlasting arms. And they rejoiced in that. Believer, we all need encouragement. Every one of us. We need to be supported and built up in our most holy faith. There's more than enough for all that's going on around us to be discouraged. You think about King David. Well, before he became king and he was chased by Saul, we know the account well when he was in the cave Adullam. He was with all those characters at Ziklag. And when the Amalekites came and invaded that place and stole all of their possessions and all of their wives and children and took them all away, well, the men who were with David, they talked of stoning him, of putting him to death. They were so overwhelmed. But we know that the answer David found and where he sought his encouragement at that time was in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. It's exactly, believer, what you and I have to do. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord in the time of our weakness. When we are drained of energy, both spiritually and practically, the devil has us hemmed in on every side. Let us lift up our eyes to the hill of God, from whence cometh our help. Psalm 121. What is that hill of God that's being talked about there? My friends, it is the hill of Calvary, the hill of victory, the hill where our Lord Jesus Christ gave His everything for us. He was victorious, and we are victorious in Him. He is the conqueror of death, and in Him we have victory. And when our Lord comes back again, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God. This is the only answer for a confused and a hurting world. The only way that to avoid the quicksand of discouragement and being submerged in despair. It's to trust in our omnipotent God and to realize that He is always working for our good. And in no wise will He ever do anything to harm the spiritual advancement of His submissive child. Yes, these are powerful words for troublesome times, and they are encouraging words for discouraging times. But I say to you, thirdly, they are deeply satisfying words for all times. I know that the Judge of all the earth does right. I know that there is no power on earth or in hell that can overthrow the sovereign authority of our great God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. And He reigns, my friend, with absolute power. the omnipotent, the all-powerful one that inhabiteth eternity. There is no searching of his understanding. His power extends beyond the mental capacity that you and I have to understand what that means. Christ is omnipotent over all his creation, over every angel and archangel, over every devil, every spirit. And did you notice in Psalm 97 how it spoke about all the gods will worship him? Yes, we know there is only one true and living God. But the Bible refers to those that have spirits as being gods. And so everyone, every created being will fall down and will worship him. He is God, omnipotent in power, but he is also our sovereign ruler in providence. When we speak about the Lord's providence, it is the exercise of his perfections, of his power, of his wisdom and goodness in cooperating, in coordinating everything in the universe for his great purpose. We know the Lord is everywhere present. He is omnipresent. Our God, how can we enter into understanding how great the God is with whom we have to do? His power is immeasurable. His great providence overrules what are seen to be the ordinary events of all life. The smallest detail, the regular course of life that we so often take for granted. The Lord is concerned, my friend, with those very small details of your life, and he is overruling them for your good and for his glory. And so, what comfort do we take in that? Well, my friends, in the uncertainties of life, in the times when we're up and down, it seems, with fears and wonderings, let us trust in the Lord and his great providence. Because when faith understands this, and when we rest ourselves upon it submissively as his children, why, we will find ourselves drawn closer to him. We'll find ourselves with a deeper love for the Savior, a deeper wonder at his greatness and his majesty, and we'll find a deep satisfaction that runs down into the heart of each one of us. Doesn't the Lord tell us, lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal? Well, let us then therefore be confident in him, because the words that the Lord has given to us and the great truth that underlines his sovereign power, these are deeply satisfying in all times of our life. What will it produce in you? And I close with this, my final point today. This truth produces everlasting joy in the hearts of God's children. Because if it doesn't produce joy, if this truth doesn't, I don't know what truth will. Your sins have been forgiven by the victorious Christ who has risen from the dead. This same Christ that ascended up to glory is coming back again. He rules and reigns in the councils of eternity now, and you are his chosen ones, his children. And he's coming back to receive you to himself. Oh, my friend, joy in this world is elusive. It's hard to pin it down sometimes because in the world, joy is connected with things. With the things of this world. But the joy that abides in the heart of the child of God, it's beyond that. It's connected to the eternal realm, not the temporal one. And so, let us therefore rejoice in the Lord, for he is the God of our strength. I trust, believer, that this truth will comfort you in the times of your sadness. Because it doesn't say that times of sadness will not come. But when they come, let us be comforted by the truth of God's word, that it will also support us in the times of our weariness. And I can say to you, yes, I get weary as well from all the stuff that's going on around us. And sometimes your head is just spinning. And you have to say, Lord, help me to think right. Help me to draw my support in the hours of weariness. And that it will also energize us for the battles that we have to face. Because that will only come from the Spirit of the Lord that abides within. Yes, believer, today, our God is in control because He is the Lord omnipotent who reigns in heaven, in earth, in all eternity. Can we rejoice in that today and thank Him? Yes, we can. We will praise His name. But I close with this. If you're not one of His children this morning, if you're not a believer, you've delayed, you put off, God's given you another opportunity to hear the word, the message. And though I cannot see the folks who are viewing online, the message goes out to you as well. Is there someone who does not know the Savior personally? Then I say to you, do not delay, but come and repent of your sin. Call upon Him. Seek the Lord with all your heart, for then you will know the peace and the joy of sins forgiven, and the knowledge that heaven is your home. And when you die, you will leave this body, this world, and you will be present with the Lord forever. Please, let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that today the Word of God would be fastened to every one of our hearts. Lord, don't let it just leak away out of us like pouring water into a sieve or a bucket with holes. I pray that we will go in the strength of this meat. We will go, Lord, for the remainder of our journey, that the Word of God will be strength to our spiritual backbone, that we will honor and praise our great and eternal God. So, Lord, part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. Go before us. Go in front of us. Keep us all protected and safe from illness and disease and the evil temptations of the wicked one. We ask all of these things in the name of our Savior and for His glory. Amen. Thank you.